The scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. It can be found on page 174 of your pew Bible. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the member of the body that seems to be the weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has also arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are all the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Right from the very beginning, I remind you that this wonderfully visual section of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, using the image of the body, made of many parts, yet striving for the same purpose. I want to point out that this passage segues directly into the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. Now you know that passage by heart. At least you recognize it quickly as soon as somebody starts to recite it. Though I speak with the tongues of mortals and of angels, if I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It is as though Paul anticipates that the community of faith will have trouble with his body simile. Paul is casting about for an image that makes the point that coming together in Christian discipleship requires that we drop all striving for self-aggrandizement and that we work together to strengthen the community of faith, which in this metaphor Paul refers to as the body of Christ. He does the same thing in Romans chapter 12, very, very like passage. If working together respectfully for the strengthening of the community is confusing, he says at the end, I will show you a still more excellent way. And that's when he launches into chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of mortals and of angels, if I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Body building is a good description, I think, of where we are in the church these days, striving to strengthen the community of faith in very difficult times. Bodybuilding. This has nothing to do with the narcissism present in our society or those infomercials you see on television telling you that all you have to do is buy their exercise machine and you'll have abs like a washboard. It has to do with Paul's image present in today's scripture of the church as the body of Christ being made of many parts and each of us being a member of that body, each of us having our respective contributions to make. So I am and have been for a long time deeply troubled by the church's collective tendency to fall into endless criticizing and despair over other parts of the church, over other parts of the body of Christ. Just as I have failed in my own life to understand that even today I am healthy and functioning, maybe not like I could when I was 18, but healthy and functioning. So we in the church have taken to criticizing one another and condemning our imperfections. Years ago, Charles Schulz in the Peanuts comic strip did a number of strips using the image of Snoopy out for a jog. And I think knowing that Charles Schulz was a good United Methodist and a man of deep personal faith, he was very aware that he was stealing pages directly from Paul and 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. So let's take a look at one of those, and I need to come down among you to make sure I'm reading them properly here. Okay? Here's Snoopy out for a morning jog. Why do we feet have to do all the work? Go to the next one. How about toes? You think it's easy being a toe? You guys are always complaining. We ears can hear you way up here. Besides, it's us legs who really do the running. All I know is running is hard on the back. Backs should be home in bed. Well, how about noses? I hate jokes about running noses. Lips. Lips are made for kissing, not running. We need more kissing. The stomach says, I'm hungry. Ha! I knew the stomach would start complaining pretty soon. We arms never complain. Well, that's a laugh. If it isn't bursitis, it's tennis elbow. We still say it's we feet who do all the work. You think it's easy being a finger? Well, ha, just try being an elbow sometime. And it ends with Snoopy musing, how can the long-distance runner ever get lonely? I remember one of those in which at the end of all that arguing between the body parts, Snoopy falls down in a cloud of dust, unable to function. That's the one I really want, and I've been searching for that cartoon for years, and people like you have sent me episodes of Peanuts that you think might be the one I'm looking for. I haven't found it yet. It's out there. I remember it from my childhood. The fact is that it takes all of our parts working together, even if imperfectly, to keep us going. We can discuss and even argue along the way, but as soon as we refuse to cooperate with one another, on our discipleship journey together. Like Snoopy's morning jog, we lose the joy of it all, and we get consumed by the arguing. We in the church have become body conscious. And many of the parts of Christ's body are busy spending all of their energy pointing out the imperfections of the other body parts. This is irrespective of theological perspective. It happens along the entire spectrum of theological thought. We look into our ecclesiastical morning mirror and all we see are things to complain about. Our congregations are too old, our worship is too stiff, our ministry lacks vision, and our pastors are lazy. You hear it all. We look at ourselves and all we see are the imperfections and the disappointments. And the great tragedy is that in this obsessive, trivial self-criticism, we live in a world where tragedy abounds. Witness the suffering currently experienced in Haiti. We live in a world where homeless still sleep in the streets, where unwanted children face loveless lives of scant opportunity. We live in a world where drug and alcohol abuse destroy countless lives. We live in a world where millions of people live with no knowledge of God's saving act in Jesus Christ. We live in a world filled with suffering, injustice, and pain. While we are distracted by our self-absorbed arguments within our own Christian community, complaining that other Christians are defective, imperfect, or impure, shame on us. In the words of our children back when they lived with us and they had had enough of our obsessive whining and blessing denying, "Mom, Dad, get a life. Get a life." Well, how ironic. You see, we have a life. What Paul is telling us in this wonderful passage and in that one so similar to it in Romans 12 is that Christ is now our life. Preaching is not our life. Teaching is not our life. Giving is not our life. Christ is now our life. It is through our preaching, through our teaching, through our giving, through our doing whatever we have been given by God to do, that we share this life in Christ with one another. The acceptability of whatever we do in the body of Christ does not depend upon the perfection of our doing, but rather upon our willingness to do it. To stop holding back, to offer ourselves, to get our hands dirty for the sake of perfecting this world toward God. This is not doing out of duty, not out of obligation, but rather out of the profound appreciation of the gift that God has given us in Jesus the Christ. This doing is a grateful and joyful response to Jesus the Christ. Take a look at the tree of service out in our narthex, out in our gathering area today. Covered with the leaves of people in this church who have seen their life lived out in service one way or another. That is how we work together. Rejoicing and celebrating in the contributions that each part of the body of Christ makes. and knowing that if we are not perfect at it, God will make use of us nevertheless. How I wish that we in the church in general would quit complaining about all of our imperfections and just get about the work of being the body of Christ. So what? If some of us know God in a way that causes us to raise our hands as we sing in worship. So what? If others of us know God in such a way that we are moved to sign petitions urging an end to injustice. So what if some of us prefer to sing the old rugged cross while others prefer to sing God of the sparrow and God of the whale? All of these things are needed. It is not ours to perfect. It is God who will take whatever we bring to the body and use it to strengthen the body. God can use you. God can use me. God can use others that would surprise both you and me. The good news is that in Christ all distinctions are erased. Paul says it. There's no longer slave nor free, male nor female. All distinctions are erased. We are made one in Christ. All the divisions we cling to so loyally in this worldly life mean nothing in God's kingdom. All of our imperfections and shortcomings are rendered insignificant in the love of Christ, which binds us together. Well, I have reached that time in my life when I have become extremely body conscious. I sit on a quiet evening and watch a lot of television, and when it's all over and I get up to move, I can't move. It takes a minute. But I try not to obsess over the imperfections of my now aging physical body. And instead, I seek to rejoice that I share a place with all who know Jesus in the body of Christ. Just as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually we belong together for the sake of the kingdom. Thanks be to God.